evening, everyone. Welcome to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Hi, everyone. John Kane, your host. Fred Smith in here in the studio with us. Hey, Fred.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Okay, you know, tonight we're gonna talk to someone. I know you're not very familiar with this guy, but you know, just do your best, okay? You know, do your best.
Yeah, it'll be a little difficult. Yeah, he's only one of my best friends, and and it's just awesome always having Coach Sanford on because we're gonna have quite a show. We know that.
Okay, you're right. Coach Al Sanford's on the line with us. How you doing, Al?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good.
Yeah, if that wind would stop. Other than that, I guess we better get used to this weather. But, this weather, and we're talking golf, you know, which makes me long for the course.
Yeah, Al, I mean, today is like a perfect golf day for you, isn't it? Nice.
Oh, my gosh.
Just a hint of a breeze.
Well, it was a perfect weekend.
Yeah, it was a good weekend. And
how's that? You know, go Blue and the Lions. Yeah. Like, we can't ask for much more than that. I mean, what a great game.
Yeah.
Dominating game by the Wolves and a last-second play by the Lions. So, you know, we're pretty happy to have this kind of weather.
Okay.
You know, this is the type of weather that makes the golf simulator business go, doesn't it, Coach?
Yeah, it sure does. We need to throw a little out there to make sure that, you know, remind anyone who might be listening that we need a golf simulator.
That's right.
Here at college.
Yeah, kidding.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Because I was going to ask you, I mean, what are you doing on a day like today, anyway, as far as the golf?
Well, I give them a little bit of time off. Our last match was, give or take, October 15th. I think it was actually October 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we take some time off, and the kids, you know, they keep right on playing until the weather, you know, got bad here a couple weeks ago when the course closed. And then we started weight training. So we're in weight training right now, and that's what we would be doing. And then, you know, they are doing it individually because of COVID. We haven't been able to get together as a team and do it. But, you know, the kids work out on their own. And then we have two nets set up in the field house, and I've noticed the kids have been in there a lot hitting balls and, you know, doing that kind of thing. So they stay pretty active, even though, you know, they aren't outside. They're still working on their game and going to spend the winter working on their game and trying to get ready for the spring season.
Yeah, I tell you, Coach, you had, by, you know, just going through the website and, you had, I thought, a very successful fall season for both the men and the women, though the men may be a little better, but talk to us about your fall seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we felt, you know, very good about the fall season and where we placed. You know, just off the top of my head, I don't remember exactly, but I think the men won 3 or 4 tournaments and the women won 2 or 3 tournaments. So a very successful year. And, you know, the men were kind of a mix. You know, we had 2 seniors in the lineup, and then we had 2 freshmen in the lineup, and we had a junior in the lineup, and then our number 6, who was knocking on the door to make the lineup, was a freshman, and number 7 was a junior, and then we had a kid that played number 1 for us a couple years ago, then left school, now back in school, local kid Grady Morlock, who could have potentially been in our lineup. So we, you know, we're pretty solid with the men, 1 through about 8 or 9. So the competition this spring for a spot in the line is going to be pretty good. And we did have a lot of success with the fall. And then the women, you know, it was kind of hit or miss with the women. We had some really good performances and then somewhere we didn't play near as well. But there again, we had a junior, you know, Bethany Nowak playing number 1 for us. We had a sophomore in the lineup. We had 2 freshmen in the lineup. And then we had a senior in the lineup. So a good mix there as well. And looking forward to the spring with the women. You know, as you know how golf goes, if you are playing good on a good day, you know, that means everything. And, you know, 1 or 2 bad scores could ruin it, and 1 or 2 good scores can, you know, put you in a position to win it. So it really just comes down to how you're playing on a particular day.
Can you tell our audience, and this is, you know, since we've got some time, can you talk a little bit about how our emphasis in our conference has changed? In other words, just to get you started on this, you know, working with you all these years, God, it's been well over 40, 45, but...
amazing.
Oh, man, we shouldn't tell anybody that. But anyhow, that for years, our golf, like, you know, very similar to the MIAA years ago, went to a fall championship season for our league, even though our national championships in the spring. And we ran a series of what they call jamborees at each school. And thus, your season was kind of averaged out over or totaled out over those jamborees. Talk to us now about the change in that, and if you can, and how it's a lot more hodgepodge, because the fall was pretty much the emphasis was conference. Now you only had really one conference activity of all what you did this fall.
Right. And that tournament we had, you know, they called it the WAC preview or the fall WAC preview. It was a 54-hole event where the first 18 holes was stroke play, and then they, you know, they separated the teams, you know, into three different flights, one through four, you know, whatever that would be, 5 through 8, 9 through 12, and then it was match play for the next 36 holes, and there really wasn't a winner or a loser. In my opinion, terrible. I mean, just a terrible idea. Why we got away from the jamborees, I'll never know, because, you know, the way I look at it is you know, we got 12 schools in the conference, you know, play six jamborees in the fall, you know, rotate every year, that you host every other year. I mean, we might be the only sport that you could go your whole four careers and never play at home. So I don't know why we got away from it. You know, the emphasis became on playing in tournaments and, you know, the opportunity to play in more tournaments throughout the Midwest and some of the schools in our league throughout the country. And that's where they kind of moved, and that was the vote for the coaches. And, you know, I disagree. You know, I disagree with it, and I don't like it. I think the jamborees were a great test. We have some great home courses in our league that we will never play unless a school decides to host a tournament on their own. So I'm a little disappointed in the way that worked. I always thought that, you know, six rounds to determine a champion in the fall was the way to go, and then come back with the tournament in the spring. And now there's really no emphasis on the league at all, other than the conference tournament that's in the spring, which is the last tournament of the season. So I don't get it, and I don't like it. But, you know, I only get – well, actually, I get two votes, one for the men and one for the women. And I wish we would go back to the jamborees and have an actual – tournament or an actual jamboree champion in the fall, and then have a tournament champion in the spring, similar to what we do in other sports, basketball or softball or baseball or whatever it may be. You have a regular season champion, and then you have a tournament champion, and have the tournament champion get the automatic bid to the conference, to the national tournament. So I don't know. You know, there's always discussion on changing it and going back, but like I said, the emphasis right now is more on playing, you know, tournaments, and teams especially like the, you know, the 36-hole tournaments. Some coaches like the 54, where you play 36 holes the first day and 18 holes the second day. But me personally, maybe being old school that I am and being around as long as I have, I just really like the jamborees, and I like the jamboree format a lot better.
So right now, our basically the fall conference event is more like a exhibition event, where I heard you say you played one 18-hole round, and then from there you just divide it up into three series of four teams, and you played round robin match play, it sound like, which is what everybody's doing a lot on D1 level, and probably was fun. But your event to decide who represents our league in the nationals is in the spring, usually late April, right?
And That's correct.
And it's usually at a course around Battle Creek, which is, there's a lot of great courses. And is that format, are you saying that's not a match play, that's just strictly a medal play tournament?
Yes, it is stroke play. It's a 54-hole event. You know, 36 holes continuous the first day, and then 18 holes the second day. And then the champion represents us in the national tournament. So that's how we do it for both the men and the women. And, you know, the fall preview, there was no winner or loser or whatever it may be. Was it fun? Yeah, you know, the kids liked it. They liked, you know, I shouldn't say that. Some of the kids liked playing match play. It was obviously a different format, a different strategy, and a different way to play. And, you know, like I said, they seeded you from the first 18 holes, and then you played one team, you know, the first round, the second 18 holes, I guess, and then depending on if you won or lost is who you played the second day.
Right.
But what did it determine? I really don't know. I mean, what did it matter? You know, I really don't know. And this is the first year that we've done it, and I know that when the vote comes up again this spring, there's going to be a lot of coaches that are opposed to that format again and going back to a format of, you know, stroke play and having an actual regular season champion. And then, like I said, having the spring tournament champion and, you know, going about it that route. I just think it's the way to go. You know, I'm not in favor of the match play. And the reason is, you know, let's say, you know, it's basketball. And, you know, you play the whole season with the three-point line and then you go to the, you know, national tournament and there is a three-point line. You know, that's it's a just a completely different format. And I just didn't think that, you know, it served any purpose at all other than, you know, we got to play and the kids had some fun. So.
Right, right, because the NAIA, the national tournament is a medal tournament. Right.
Correct.
And then the NCAA, us older people that watch too much golf, and I'm one of them, and, you know, what the NCAA did a number of years ago is they play the medal tournament, which may be three or four rounds, and then mm-hmm. the top eight teams then play. It's kind of a made-for-TV right. deal, you know, because then they play a eight-team match play, you know, and that's where that yeah. emphasis, I think, where the kids like to do what the big ones do. But this is maybe a silly mm-hmm. question. How do you get your kids to play 36 holes one day? Maybe they do it a lot more than we do, but that's got to be, that's tough, isn't it?
Oh, it is tough. You know, that's another thing that I was opposed to. I didn't really understand what that proved other than an endurance test. But you know, to me, to prove my point is after 36 holes, whoever was in first place after 36 holes went on and won the tournament. I don't think we ever had anyone come in second or third after 36 and then pass whoever was in first place after 36 holes. And again, it's not something that I like. The kids don't like it. But, you know, Fred, it's no different than any other sport. Whatever NCAA Division I is doing is going to trickle down. And it trickled down to us because that's what they do. And you hear it all the time in our coaches' meeting. Well, that's what they do at Division I. That's what they do at Division I. And then, you know, it's just it's going to happen at our level, too. It's just a matter of time before we get that trickle-down effect. But the kids handled it pretty well. Again, you know, they don't really like it. So it's a, you know, a shotgun start. And if you start on the first hole, when you get back to the first hole, your lunch is sitting on the tee box and you grab your lunch and you just keep right on going. And it's a 9.5 to 10-hour round.
Wow.
And the kids get around pretty good. You know, the men, you know, they get around pretty fast. The women get around pretty fast. But what happens is that second day when they come back for 18 holes after playing 36 holes, it's just the scores are a lot worse. And I just think they're tired from the day before.
You know, this is another kind of silly question, but I really, you know, like when you go to a golf course like the Grand or some of these mm-hmm. resort-type courses, and you guys play unbelievable great courses where there's, you know, the old courses, like even if you go to Lenawee or even, mm-hmm. You know, Wolf Creek or Woodlawn around here, you go from the green to the tee. With some of these courses, it's sometimes a half, you know, you...
Mm-hmm.
How
right.
do they get these right. kids at these tournaments from one tee to another? Is there a cart set up or, you know what I mean? That's just a silly question, but I wondered that.
No, it's not. That's not a silly question at all. First of all, what we try to do is that we have a neutral site. So back in the day, remember we used to play
right.
Whoever won the conference right. in the fall would host. So you would play their course. So we didn't have much choice then because back in 2015, and remember we won the conference
right.
and we hosted the conference tournament,
right.
but that was back when we did the jamborees and we had an actual, you know, conference champion in the fall, and then they would host the conference tournament in the spring. So you didn't have any choice there. But now that it's a neutral site, you know, we try to get a course that's walker friendly, so to speak,
okay,
where
I wonder.
You like walk right off the green and get right to the next tee box, which, you know, Bedford Valley's like that, you know, Stonebridge
right.
is like that, Stonehenge and, you know, North and South are both like that. So we try to avoid those, but there are some cases where, you know, you have a bit of a walk from one hole to the next, and we would shuffle the kids in that situation.
Yeah,
but it doesn't happen very often. Rarely do we shuffle the kids. It's pretty much they're walking the whole time. You know, the girls, the women, almost every women have a push cart. Most of the men use a push cart. And
right.
push carts are high tech now.
Yeah, you're
I tell
right.
them they're the Cadillac push carts. So get their clubs around pretty good. But it's a test mentally, I think, more so than even physically. Just trying to grind it out for, you know, 9.5 hours it's a test.
Hey, Coach, talk to us a little bit and our audience about who your, you know, top players were coming back from last year and did well this spring or fall.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, like I talked about earlier, with our men 1 through 5, anyone could have been medalists. We were that balanced. I mean, we had a score of 290. I felt like we should have been a team that consistently shot under 300 and a team that could easily break 290. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of talent there. But we had two seniors in the lineup, Trent Moody, a kid from Dundee, and Colin Duffy, a kid from Pinckney. Colin was a medalist in one of our tournaments. And then we have an outstanding freshman, Ben Ellis. He was a medalist in a couple of different tournaments, a kid from, I think he's from Chippewa, down by Akron. He just had a great fall this year. And then our number four was a kid that was also, you know, he shot 69 in the tournament, Davis Longyear, who's a junior for us. And then our freshman, who I think he tied for medalist in one of our tournaments, Garrett Ramos, a local kid from Clinton. Dad's an alum, if you remember his dad, Nito.
Yeah, Nito. Yeah.
Back in the day. Yeah, remember Nito?
Yeah.
His son is now playing for us. And we had another, like I said, a real good freshman that was on the, you know, borderline, so to speak, of making the lineup, Jacob Gross, a kid from Avon Lake. Went to high school with Larry DeSimpler's son. So there's another name for you from back in the past. So, you know, we're starting to get those second and even third generation kids. So the men's team, like I said, we were very solid 1 through 5. Any one of those kids could have been our medalist on any given day. And they were, you know, we had, Garrett was our number one a couple of different times. Davis was our number one a couple of different times. So great balance there. With the women, we didn't have quite the depth. We were solid 1 through 3. Our number one, Bethany Nowak, girl from Tecumseh, who I think was the Lenawee County Player of the Year her senior year, who had a great fall for us and really came on. Started out the year playing number one or number three for us and then moved up to number one. She was, I mean, fabulous in the match play. I mean, she had a match that, I mean, I couldn't get away from. She was playing a girl from U of M Dearborn, and they were just going back and forth, winning a hole, losing a hole. And, you know, it came down to the 18th hole, and, you know, Bethany was away on the drive on a par four and hits one to about 10 feet. The girl from Dearborn hits one to about 8 feet. She 3 putts, and Bethany 2 putts to win the match on the 18th hole. And it was just a great match to watch. And then we had a sophomore, Megan Packus, who played number two for us, and then a really good freshman, Skylar Whitman from Fort Wayne, who played number three, shows a lot of potential. Hits it like 260, 270 off the tee, and needs to, like all of us, needs to continue to work on the short game, but the girl can hit the ball. So was a little inconsistent as a freshman for us, had some good rounds and, you know, some rounds where, you know, didn't go as well for her, but a lot of potential there. And then the young lady that I think is going to be on the show tonight, Chelsea Kovac, cracked the lineup as a senior. This was her first year consistently playing in the lineup. And then we had a freshman, Isabel Sparks, who also hits the ball a long way playing the number five for us as a freshman. But, you know, getting back to Chelsea, you know, she's a nursing major. And as you know, those nursing majors, their junior year, it's hard for them to do anything athletically with the, you know, the clinicals and all those things that they have to do. So for her, she would have probably, I think she made the lineup for the conference tournament her junior year, but someone who probably would have been in our lineup as a junior, but just, you know, they just can't get away from the clinical. So to try to have them play in a tournament during the day is next to impossible unless, you know, it's a Saturday. So Chelsea really had a nice, nice fall for us, and I was really happy for her, really proud of her for her senior year, and she's also one of our captains. So I'm sure she'll be a good interview for you folks tonight.
You know, Al, you told us that you guys you're into doing the strength training right now because of the this part of the season. You know, I don't know how far it has to go back decades, if I can remember correctly, that, you know, because decades ago, strength training wasn't really part of what playing golf was all about. And I'm thinking, like, the first guy that I can think of that made strength training something was Johnny Miller. I don't even, I can't even remember how far back, because it goes back that far. So now, I mean, it's a major part of what the golfers do, right?
Oh, yeah, no question. The first one I remember was Gary Player. I mean, just a workout freak and, you know, really into conditioning. But, yeah, it's become a part of golf. I think that a lot of that is the Tiger Woods. You know, these kids grew up watching Tiger Woods. And, of course, you know, he did the SEAL training. You know, he looked like a, you know, defensive cornerback in the NFL at one time. And I think that played a lot into it. And, you know, we are lucky here in town to have, you know, our well-known physical therapist, Gary Gray, who now has a he's doing golf movement specialist for weight training. And, you know, one of his students, a local guy, Jim Olson, is a golf movement specialist. And he comes in and he's the one that really shows us the program and, you know, how to lift weights for golf. And it's very golf specific what we do. And you would see a lot of golf movement with weights. So the kids, depending on their, you know, their strength level and where they're at, you would see them with maybe a couple of 5 pound weights or a couple of 10 pound weights, and some of the stronger, you know, maybe 15 up to 20. And, you know, we do the three planes of motion, the sagittal, the frontal, and transverse, which we relate all of that to golf and very golf specific in the movements. So if you came and watched, you know, the frontal and the sagittal, maybe not so much, but when we get in the transverse plane, you'll see a lot of turning and a lot of twisting and a lot of golf movement with the, you know, the weights. And the kids really like it, and they've really bought into it. Unfortunately, like I said, we haven't been able to do it this fall because of the COVID, but we're hoping that we can start back up in January and get back to that program and have Jim come in and, you know, show us the program again and just, you know, help remind us of the things that we should be working on and any other things that have come across as new ideas. So we really like it. We really like what Jim does. You know, obviously Gary is, you know, taking it nationally, and, you know, Jonathan Moore is the strength and conditioning coach at Oklahoma State, and I know Oklahoma State is doing this program. So here we have probably the best program in the country doing this same weight training program that, you know, little old Siena Heights is doing. So the kids like it. They bought into it. You know, they're really sold on it. So, yeah, golf and weight training is very much a part of what we do and a very much a part of golf.
You know, it's funny, Coach, when I heard John say that, I'm back when, you know, we did a little bit of weight stuff and conditioning, but there was the rumors how it could hurt your shot and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, it's the program that you are talking about that Gary and his, you know, group have put together. Didn't you go through some of that training yourself?
I did.
That's what I thought.
I did. I took the class. You know, I'm certified in, you know, the golf movement, but it just, you know, I haven't kept up with it, and they've changed a lot of different things since when I took it. So, you know, we just, like I said, have Jim come in and he shows us how to do the program.
So, but you know, like when you're out in the road, and I know how much you recruit, you know, and how many of the young men and women that you meet with and home visit and school visit and all that have similar type programs other than, you know, they have their own teachers and that, but are kind of acquainted with some of that movement stuff? I mean, just is it new for them or?
It's new for them. You know, we get all different types of ability level when we first start the program. You know, every once in a while, I'll have a kid walk up to me, you know, we're getting ready the first day and we're going to have our first lift. And I'll have kids come up to me and go, Coach, I've never lifted weights in my life. And then you have others that are just into it and passionate about it. And, you know, it just depends on the program they come from high school. And if there is someone, you know, that has lifted weights and is in a weightlifting program, they usually have a personal trainer or, you know, their swing coach is someone that has introduced them to weights. And, you know, the kids nowadays, gosh, almost every kid has a swing coach, especially the better players.
Right.
They all have someone that they go to and someone that they work with. And, you know, with me, you know, I'll give them a suggestion or advice and they'll say, well, my swing coach says, and then I just stop and I say, okay, well, tell me what your swing coach says and we'll build up from that. Because they're usually somebody that they've worked with for 4, 5, 6 years. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, with all the technology they have now, you'll see them videoing their swing. They'll be out on the range, and they'll be talking to their swing coach, who right. is, you know, wherever in their hometown, and here they are out on the range at Wolf Creek getting a lesson, you know, well, you're not doing this or you're not doing that. So I've just come to understand and learn that that's who they grew up with, that's who they trust, that's who they think is best to make them better. A lot of times it's just a mental thing where they just need to be reassured that they're doing the right thing. And you know how it is with golf. We all have our good days and bad days, and we go into slumps, and when one of the kids get in a slump, they just feel like they need to talk to their coach. Right. And that's just how it is now. They've grown up different than our day.
You know,
my swing coach was you when I took PED 103, Intro to Golf. that was my first introduction to golf. I never had played or, you know, and now these kids, they just, that's the way it is. They grow up with, you know, coaches and teachers outside of their high school coach.
You know, somebody like Garrett, you know, and mm-hmm. you don't remember his father, Nito, and he prepped at Clinton, right? Now, they played their mm-hmm. golf probably at Rustic Glen, is that right? Or
they did. Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. They played at Rustic Glen.
And we all know it's a nice little golf course, right? But how mm-hmm. does a young man who must be very talented adjust from mm-hmm. playing a Rustic Glen or like a Woodlawn or a Wolf Creek to some of these courses where you're playing, you know, almost 7,000 yards, 6,800 mm-hmm. yards from back tees? How did Garrett mm-hmm. adjust so quickly?
Well, I think a lot of it is these kids, they play in tournaments all summer.
Uh-huh, I see.
So they play all these different gotcha. Courses, and there's all different kinds of tours,
right.
you know, that they play in. And so they go and they play, and, you know, we're at the point now with, you know, be competitive in the conference. And, you know, as funny as this sounds, we have golfers. I mean, these kids, they play golf. So they're out everywhere. I mean, you talk to them in the summer, and they've just played this course or played in
That's
this tournament.
Awesome.
You know, they just play so much now, and there's so many different opportunities for them. I think that they're, obviously, they adjust pretty quick. And, you know, they say, well, you know, like Bedford Valley, yeah. well, I've played there five or six times this
right.
summer.
Wow.
You know, it's just they're out, and they're playing, and they're playing the different courses. And, you know, we talk to them about that. You know, we try to tell them, you know, you got to get on a 66 to 6,800-yard course, and you've got to learn how to play those courses. And the ones that are golfers, you know, that's what they do. I mean, a kid like Garrett, I mean, he probably plays, he's got a little simulator set up at his house.
Wow.
You know, and he plays, he hits balls every day. So that's how they make it. And Fred, you know this, the conference is just so good.
Right.
I mean, it's just crazy with all the international players that, you know, the schools like Indiana Tech and the schools like Northwest Ohio are attracting. And, you know, we have a tournament where they're throwing out 72s, you know, their fifth guy's, you know, they're shooting 65, 67, 68, 69, and it's just crazy. And, you know, if you haven't had a chance to, you know, and I don't mean you personally, but if you haven't had a chance to come out and watch these kids play, you just are in awe of how far they hit the ball. It's just, you know, it's just become a different game. It's like any other sport, you know, sports other than the NBA, no offense, Fred, I don't want to get there. Other than the NBA, it's just become every sport has just become a power game. I mean, you know, these kids, they hit the ball so far, and, you know, that's at our level. And you can only imagine, you know, you go to the next level and next level and next level, how far they're hitting the ball. And, you know, they step up to a par five, and it's nothing. They just, you know, hit the driver, and they don't even think twice. I mean, number 10 at Lanaway, the old number four, they don't even think, or old number five, I guess it is. They don't even think twice. Par five, it's going over. They're hitting it over the range, over the trees, and not even batting an eye. I mean, they're hitting little wedges in on par fives, and, you know, old number eight, they're hitting, you know, driver four iron there, and you just sit there and go, what in the world? How do they hit the ball so far? So I think that's a lot of it. You know, they just get to play so much, and they get to play all these great courses throughout the state and Ohio and Indiana, and they come in and, you know, a lot of guys lick their chops when they see the 6,300 at Lanaway until they get on the green, but they start muttering. So every course is different and unique, and I think that's how they really adjust is by playing in the tournaments over the summer.
Well, Al, we gotta cut you loose here.
Okay.
Great talking to you. Golf is one of the few sports I can get a triple-double in. I'm serious now. I can always get 100 strokes for 10 holes. I've never had any problem doing that. But we appreciate you, and we're going to take a break here. We're going to try and get Chelsea on the line, and we'll talk to her.
Thanks for talking
okay, well,
to
thanks,
us.
Thanks,
Coach.
All right, well, thanks for having me.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at siennaheights.edu. Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student-athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Is space becoming a problem for you? You have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well-lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student-athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Welcome back to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. With us on this segment of the show is Chelsea Kovach. Hi, Chelsea.
Hi.
So tell me, we just found out that are you one of the captains for this year's team?
Yes, I am.
Congratulations on that.
Coach Thank
Smith,
you.
I mean, Coach Sanford had some really nice things to say about Chelsea.
Chelsea, what are you majoring in?
I'm a nursing major.
Right, and I wanted you to say that because that is, you know, we on this program, which has been our privilege to do, we've ran into a few people that are in nursing, and the challenges that you have to overcome to play intercollegiate sports are many, aren't they?
Yes.
Well, so first off, tell us about where you're from and, you know, how you heard about Siena Heights.
I'm from Rockwood, Michigan, which is north of Monroe. And my senior year, I was talking with my golf coach, and we were just thinking about if I wanted to play again or not. And I just kind of stumbled upon Siena Heights University, and I applied, reached out to Coach Sanifer about playing in college, and it just kind of unraveled from there.
Yeah, you went to Gibraltar Carlson, right?
Yes.
So at that time, was nursing something that you may or may not be interested in?
Yeah, I've been interested in nursing since I was a little kid. And
wow.
Then what drew me to Siena even more was their nursing program, which has very good reviews.
Right, it sure does. So what year has been the most challenging for you in terms of, you know, academically, you being able to participate in all the events or not? Or which year has been the best and which is the most challenging?
Probably this semester has been the most challenging with school and golf, since I'm in the lineup this year.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to make it to all the events and coordinating with my professors about missing classes or things like that. So this year's definitely probably been the most challenging so far, with having to coordinate around all of the schedules that I have.
You know, and that's the unique thing, you know, and having, you know, been the AD a long time, I know what you're doing. The first thing you're doing is, you know, we try to get into events, and so many of the events that we have to enter are held during the week. All right, there are a few on Friday and Saturdays, but are held during the week, and then you then have to, when you guys go to an event, you're kind of gone all day, aren't you?
Yeah.
I mean, there's not like you know, a basketball. You can leave late in the afternoon, go to Concordia, play, and come back. You guys are gone on the golf course, you know, 5+ hours, a couple there, a couple back. So. How about the clinicals? How's that going to be for you your senior year in the spring? Is that going to be something you're going to have to work around?
Yeah, I have practicum next semester, so I haven't gotten my schedule yet, but I'm definitely going to have to coordinate with coach and, all my professors about making it to as much as I can, or at least making it to the most important, WAC conference and things like that.
Right, and it's an awesome thing, because at a small school, that's one of the great things when we began this nursing program, that we were going to be able to work together, we were going to attract great students like yourself. But the clinicals for our audience is where you actually do kind of on-the-job training at a hospital. So where have you've probably done clinicals for a couple of years now, or at least a year or so, haven't you?
Yeah.
And what hospitals have you worked at?
I've worked at the ProMedica Hickman, St. Joe's in Chelsea.
That's awesome.
And the ProMedica in Toledo, the Children's Hospital.
That is so great. I mean, you know, our hats are off to you. My next question is, in getting into the golf business, you know, when you got to Siena, what was the biggest difference between collegiate and high school golf?
Definitely probably just the atmosphere of golf and playing harder courses than you normally would in high school, and just adapting to the college golf atmosphere and things like that.
And my last question is, and I'll let the host of the show actually say something, but I really enjoy talking to the students, and talk about being a leader and how you've grown into that, to being a captain. Is that something you always were, or did you have to work at learning how to be a leader?
I've definitely had to work at being a leader, but since my freshman year, I've seen all the captains that have been in front of me on the golf team. So I've kind of taken apart from what they've shown or the dedication they've put in into being a captain myself this year. And I've definitely had to work at being the leadership role. I'm definitely quiet and outgoing at the same time, but right. having that leadership role is definitely different for everyone. And I think I take it very seriously and like want to be someone that people can look up to or come to for anything, and just like that good like leadership person that people need.
All right, I got one more question, and I can't help this. What is the strongest part of your game, would you say, and what is an area you have to work on?
Probably my strongest part of my game is probably either like my driver or my irons. I definitely need to work on my short game. That's where I struggle the most. That's kind of where I've always struggled the most is with putting and all that.
Well, great. Hey, I enjoyed talking to you. I'll turn you back over to John here.
Okay.
You know, I don't have a lot. Chelsea, I'm kind of wondering, how long have you been playing golf? When did you start playing golf?
My junior year of high school.
So that's is that kind of like average, or is that like maybe later, or how would you characterize that?
I always thought that was kind of later, because I feel like golf is something that you kind of do as like a child, that like you kind of get into. But I've seen more now that people are starting like either their freshman year of high school or just at some point in high school. So I think it's becoming like a little normal to start like your junior, because one of the freshmen that came in this year also started her junior year of high school.
You must have great hand-eye coordination to start as a junior. And you say that you, I think Coach was talking about how far you hit the ball, and I was very envious of that myself. I'd like to get some yards from you if I could. But one other thing, it makes sense when your strengths and weaknesses, because putting and short game is stuff you're going to improve your whole life. You know what I'm saying? Being able to hit the ball is something a lot of people can't do. So, all right, last question for me again. I can't help but interrupt John all the time. Is you guys had a really nice fall. What are your goals for you and your team this spring?
My goals for the team are definitely to just go out there and shoot our best every time. Because golf is individual, but it's team as well when it comes down to the scores at the end. So definitely win more, as many tournaments as we can. We won a lot in the fall, and I was super proud of everyone. Everyone has worked so hard and it's showing now. And some goals for me is just to keep doing my best, hit some new PRs in my score this fall, this spring, and then just play my best since I'm graduating this year, so.
Well, congratulations.
You know, Chelsea, I have to ask you, I mean, you didn't start playing until you were a junior in high school, so you must have an aptitude for the game. You've picked it up so quickly. Did you realize that early on?
I did. When I first started, I definitely was not that good, but I found someone at Miles of Golf that still gives me lessons till this day, and he's definitely worked with me in adapting to a golf swing from like my previous sports that I've played. My swing looked all crazy, so we've definitely been adapting it into more of a golf-like swing, so that has definitely helped.
Well, and I was going to say, I mean, getting that, being able to adapt that quickly, obviously, has helped you. What attracted you to golf in the first place?
For me, I was playing a different sport that I didn't like anymore, and I always needed something to keep me busy. I love like sports and athletics and things like that, and I was sitting one day talking with my dad, and he's like, well, why don't you pick up golf? And just kind of from there, we started that summer, And then I was like, oh, like, I really do like this sport. And it just kind of grew from there.
Well, congratulations on that. I decided many, many, many years ago to give up all the frustration. So I dropped the game of golf, you know. I told Coach Sandifer earlier on the show that, you know, I could do a triple-double in golf. I could easily get 100 strokes for 10 holes. And that's what I call a triple-double. But I want to, you know, congratulate you on your success, not only becoming a nursing graduate from Siena Heights University, but a captain on the golf team. And we want to wish you all the best in the future. Thanks for being on the show.
Yes, thank you for having me.
All right, we're going to be back with more. Keep it tuned here. You're listening to Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 96.5thecave.com.
Concerned about unpredictable rising college tuition costs? Siena Heights University is taking a bold step to remain affordable. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena, a Catholic university. Located in Adrian, Michigan, Siena Heights also offers scholarships in academics, athletics, and the arts. Find out what the Siena Tuition Advantage is all about today by visiting siennaheights.edu. That's the Siena Effect.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Is space becoming a problem for you? You have clutter issues? Magic Fountain Mini Storage to the rescue. If you haven't rented a storage unit before, there's no need to worry. Magic Fountain makes it simple and easy. Their storage units are affordable, have 24-hour access, well lit, safe, secure, and monitored with video surveillance 24/7. Multiple sized storage units and now offering secured outside storage. Magic Fountain Mini Storage in Adrian. Find them at the office behind Magic Fountain Auto Wash.
Siena Heights University was recently named one of the best colleges for your money by Money Magazine. If you plan to invest in a college experience, wouldn't you like to know what is money well spent? Siena Heights recently announced the Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. The Siena Tuition Advantage Plan means more price certainty, including potentially one tuition price during your time at Siena. Siena students also get real-world experience around the globe. Connections to international universities allow students to study in exciting places like England, Italy, and Costa Rica. With more than 600 student athletes, Siena Heights offers athletic scholarships in more than 20 intercollegiate sports, including esports. There's also scholarships in academics and the arts. There's no better way to learn about Siena Heights than by visiting our campus. Begin your discovery and schedule your campus visit today. For more information, visit go.siennaheights.edu and learn what the Siena Effect is all about.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Back here to Saints Sports Weekly on 96.5 The Cave and 965thecave.com. Okay, I'm not sure. We might have Andrew on the line here. Andrew, are you out there?
Yeah, hi. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, we got him.
That's awesome.
That was great.
Nice. How's it going, fellas? How are we?
Oh, we're doing good. Thanks for calling in, Andrew, and being on the show.
No problem at all. Sorry about that. I'm actually getting ready for a hockey game, so I must have done the poor service around the locker room or something, you know?
Okay. Well, I'll have the coach get right to you.
Hey, it's Coach Smith, Andrew.
Hey, Coach Smith. How are you, sir?
Doing good. How do you like coaching? First question.
Oh, I love it. It's the best.
How long have you been doing this with Coach Sandifer?
This is my second year as the GA, so I'll be out of my MBA in the summertime, and we'll see what life has to hold for me after. I'd love to be a coach afterwards as well. So
yeah, I saw you were a business finance major at Siena, and you were part of our conference championship team. And tell everybody a little bit about you. I know we don't have a ton of time here, but I know, you know, where you're from, a little bit about your golf and academic background and how you got to Siena.
So I'm from Livonia, Michigan. I actually worked with one of the guys that was on the team at Siena, and he told Coach Sandifer about me, and Coach Sandifer, you know, the great recruiter he is, he recruited me to play there, and it's been a great time, honestly. I love Siena, obviously. You know, anyone who spends any time here knows how awesome a place it is, you know, so it's been a great journey, honestly. I love it, and I'm just excited for what the future has in store for me. I'm not 100% sure what it is, but it'll be great either way.
Well, you know, what's unique about your career, didn't you spend, I think, your first 2 years at Schoolcraft, a neighborhood quality community college up in Livonia, and you played golf there, isn't that right?
That is correct. That is correct. You know your history, friend.
Well, you know, I read the bios, man. That's what websites are for. And,
right.
And I remember that team that we had for 2 years. I think we finished second and first your 2 years at Siena. In your senior year, I think we had seven seniors on that team. Talk to us about that team and what made it so strong.
Yeah, it was just a special team. You know, we obviously, you know, other than being talented golfers, we all just held each other accountable, and you know, that really made the team thrive. Obviously, you know, we're all super close, and most of the guys, you know, I still talk to and still get friends with. So It was really just a special team, honestly. And, yeah, you know, that first year when we finished second, we lost by a shot. And then,
wow,
you know, winning the second year, just kind of, you know, getting a little bit of revenge for the loss the year before, it felt good for sure. So
you guys...
Yeah, definitely was a unique experience. Definitely one of the closest teams in any sport I've ever been in.
So you're telling me that, and I should remember this better, but your junior year after the Jamborees, you lost by one shot?
Yeah, one shot, and it was, you know, after six tournaments, so,
wow,
you know, hundreds and hundreds of shots, and we lost by one, so I guess you got to work on those three-footers, right, boys?
Yeah, see, there you go, and your senior year, you know, like you said, you had seven seniors, and You know, that had to be kind of special because, you know, for coaches' sake, as you know now from doing the coaching part, mostly you guys had been through the ringer, hadn't you?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt, yeah. It was definitely, like I said, very unique. You know, not many teams you have that many seniors on, and it was a really unique blend of talent and just camaraderie, you know, and really good chemistry. And it's hard to even quantify it, to be honest with you. It was just a really, really special team and a special group. And, you know, even the guy team was really close with the girls team and, you know, obviously vice versa. So it was really unique and it was special for sure.
Tell us about it, and
you definitely get closer from going through those experiences together, you know.
Andrew, tell us about one of your most favorite moments in competition at Siena.
It's got to be one in the conference championship, right?
Yeah, but anything in particular that you remember or anything that you want to share with us about, you know, the loneliness of being on that golf course. Now, the big host here, he gave the sport up, but I'm dumb enough to still have it tear my heart out. Anything you remember about that year that, you know, that happened on the course you can relate to us at all? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, no, it's all good. You know, obviously there were, you know, a few shots in there that were always, you know, special or, you know, when you're not playing, you know, it's written on the guys and the girls to have as much success as possible. I think, like, you know, I talk about the feeling, the difference in the feeling from losing that year before and then winning the next year. So I would say it would have to be, honestly, just getting off that course in the last tournament and everyone putting their scores in and knowing that we won. It felt it was a feeling that's hard to describe.
So when you guys won that, you guys had to come back in the spring, and in order to go to nationals, you know, you had to validate. And I don't know how many teams were playing golf in the WAC then. I don't know if there were 10 or so, probably. And we hosted that tournament, right?
Right.
And how did we shoot? We finished fourth, and I know it had to be close. How did we shoot that weekend?
You know, we didn't play our best, obviously. I think, you know, it's a huge advantage to be at your home course.
Right.
But, you know, obviously, it was just an emotional weekend. Obviously, you know, a lot of us knowing that we weren't going to, you know, some of us weren't going to be back the next year.
Yes.
I was obviously, I had another semester of school at that point still, so I knew I was going to be back. But, you know, for the guys that weren't going to be back, it was definitely tough. It was definitely a bittersweet moment, you know.
And Lenawee always, we played well at Lenawee, but why did visitors have such a tough time at Lenawee?
You know, Lenawee is just a really unique track. It's, you know, old school, and most courses are designed to be a little longer now. Lenawee, it's more of a target golf course. You kind of have to hit it at the right spot, so you're not going to be in a barrier position coming in. So, it's definitely a huge advantage, but, you know, every once in a while, you know, someone can just kind of come out and play their best when you don't, and obviously that was the case that year, unfortunately for us.
I got to tell you something real quick, and I know John's going to be waving at me because we got to get off the air, but I coached golf. Back when we were pretty humble, it was in the late 70s, early 80s. We used to play duels. We were down playing Tiffin, and we played, I can't remember the course, Mohawk or something. And you know, we played foursomes then, and our guys had the honor. So the host team had drivers out. Our guys had never seen the course. They pumped the drivers, and they got in trouble. And then the guys put those drivers back in the bag and hit irons, you know. And that's the gamesmanship of golf for sure, but I'll never forget that. And they were so upset. But that's a tough thing about you guys now. There's so much more technology. You can really look at a golf course a lot easier, can't you?
Yeah, you definitely study up a golf course. Even if you haven't been there, you know, you can always look at the maps of it.
Right, gotcha.
The blueprints and everything. So, yeah, you know, it's definitely a little bit better with technology. I mean, in the 70s, I know they didn't have the computers around, Fred. So it would have been tough to get the scouting report going.
Yeah, it was not up. And the coach did a poor job.
We got an ID coming. Hang on, Andrew. I think we got an ID coming up here pretty quick. It kind of overrides us just a little bit.
Yeah, so just hang on.
Well, a couple more seconds here, and we'll find out exactly.
Sure.
Well, I guess. Came up to 7 o'clock here. So, Coach Smith, you got We go overtime all the time.
Okay. Well, and so talk about the biggest adjustment in coaching, going from a guy that, you know, had to take coaching, and now you're trying to help the young men and women.
Sure.
How's that been for you, and what's the biggest thing you've learned?
Sure, yeah, it's been great. You know, it's really a lot of it's just passing on the information that you get from, you know, the years of competition to the other guys and girls. And, you know, it's been really special for me. I've enjoyed it. It's really fun, and the relationships you build with, you know, the teams it's pretty special. So, you know, I pass along a lot of the information that I got playing, and try to just, you know, essentially remember how it was for me and see if I can impart any wisdom on them. And sometimes it works out that way. Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't. So it's definitely a challenge, but it's a great experience.
So it's something that, you know, when you're done, you're going to look for, you know, some vacancies and climb the ladder in coaching golf. Hopefully it's collegiate level, right? So,
yeah.
You know, that, and I wish you all the luck in the world. Have you had to do much recruiting?
Say that one more time. Sorry.
Have you had to do much recruiting for Coach Sam?
Oh yeah, for sure. And that's been a good part of it, because, you know, Coach has 40 years or
right.
whatever. I mean, it's hard. He's probably lost count at this point, but he's had so much experience with it that he's really helped me to learn how to do it and to really, you know, it's really such an important part of the job that I think he's always, you know, preached the importance of it and the relevancy of it, and, you know, really how to build a program. So it's been good. I've really done a lot in the few years that I've been there, and learned a lot of it from Coach for sure.
My last question is, how do you handle the balance of, you know, as a golf coach? Me being a golf coach is kind of ironic, because all my friends would make fun of me because of the way I hit the ball over the place. But now, you know, you guys, most all golf coaches have to have some expertise, but how do you deal with these young men and women that come in with established swing coaches? How would you balance that? Coach talked a little bit about that, but I just wanted to hear your feedback on it.
For sure. Yeah, no, you definitely have to, you know, kind of figure out when to press and when not to press about it. You know, a lot of them, you know, they're just comfortable with their one coach, and there's no problem with that, but really just kind of allow them to approach you to a certain degree. You know, you don't really ever interject unless you're for sure know that they need help, you know. Right. And, you know, I think I've gotten pretty good at balancing that. I try not to jump in and, you know, interfere with anyone's swing unless it's really, really important or I see something that's really, you know, a swing fault. So, but yeah, it is definitely one of the tougher parts to balance. I'm still learning how to do it. You know, it's not something I think you ever really know
right.
100% how it's done every time. And it's probably not the same every time, but it's something you get better at for sure.
You know, and that's, as you, look at your team, your men, and your women have done well too, but it sounds like you have a very strong men's team. But in your day, you had, you know, to win the conference, you had six jamborees, whatnot. Now you have one weekend. How do you point to get these kids ready for that one weekend or one tournament?
Well, you know, a lot of times you got to just, at a certain level, it has to just become another round of golf. You know, you can't put too much pressure on them.
Right.
But, you know, you also have to kind of recognize the significance of it. You know, it's the one shot you get. So, you know, it's not something I think we've completely figured out yet, but it is something that we're definitely getting closer to. And I think a lot of it comes with experience, too. That's why, you know, it's so important to have the older guys and girls on the team, just for that leadership quality and that leadership aspect that really does make the difference in winning a championship and not winning it, you know.
Okay, well, Andrew, I don't really have anything for you. We're running over time. I just want to congratulate you on your success as a graduate of Siena Heights University, your success in your academics, and your success as a student athlete. And we want to wish you the best of luck in the future.
Thanks, fellas. You guys as well.
Hey,
go Saints.
Yeah, thanks for being on.
Yep, have a good night.
All right, that's going to wrap up our show here for this evening. Remember, join us once again on Monday evening at 6 p.m. for Saints Sports Weekly here on 96.5 The Cave and 965 The Cave.com.